Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Return of Daimajin.
1966.
Weirdly 1966. How does this work?
That three movies in 1 year?
Yeah. I guess you save time by not shooting a lot of Daimajin.
Yeah. This movie maybe be like, man, before we get to the third Daimajin, it's going to be a while. Probably like as long as it takes Daimajin to show up in a movie.
Well, I kind of figured like, okay, so Daimajin set up in the first movie, so we're good to go. We know what Daimajin's
right,
all
now,
about.
Right, now Daimajin is very accessible.
Yeah, you don't need to explain anything.
Yeah.
We got it.
Just let's get him to come and wreak havoc.
Now, I didn't take a lot of notes on this movie, but I did start jotting down times. So
times like how long it took for things to happen?
So like, let's just say like my first time stamp is the 23 minute mark.
Oh, time stamps.
Yeah, so the 23 minute mark, a man rings a bell and I'm like, cool. Please wake Daimajin. Or Maijin, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Got it. I've seen, like, that bell. I've seen people, like, there's a Buddhist temple out here that a lot of people go and ring that bell. But I've never seen, like, I don't know if that's the proper way to ring it, where he kind of, like, he does a few swings before he finally hits the bell with it.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
It's pretty, because normally I think you can just do it with one swing, but I think maybe he wants to get it really hard to see if he can wake up Daimajin.
Spoiler alert, he can't.
Okay, so we open with people trying to escape and getting stabbed. There's a part which I like it when I have a movie that's in Japanese, and, well, because the Daimajin, I had bought the Blu-ray collection.
Good investment.
And so I can watch it in English dubbed, but with subtitles, and it'll run the Japanese subtitles. So sometimes there's like a little discrepancy between what I believe is what was in Japanese versus what's in English. And sometimes when those are considerably different, I always like to make a note of it because it's entertaining for me. There's a part where they tell the guy, hey, let's try to get up. And that's the voiceover. But the actual caption says, buck up.
Huh.
Basic story. There are these two villages, the Chigusa and the Nagoshi. They live on either side of this lake island, and inside the island is their god.
Yeah.
The Majin.
Yeah.
So he's moved.
I like the new setting.
The new place?
Yeah.
They have to take a boat to get to him?
Yeah, I thought it looked cool. I thought it was more interesting than the mountainside in the first movie. I thought the set looked cool. Like the sort of cave with the giant statue and then the kind of lagoon coming in or the water coming in into the cave. Like we just watched Son of Kong recently, and there's a part where Denim and the gang are in a boat going through a similar cave, but it's like definitely superimposed over a model. I thought this was cool that it was an actual set, like a big giant set. And they got a lot of use out of the set, but
and I forget what the name of the other group is.
Was it the one with the
bad guys?
The bad guys with the symbol that looked like the Rebel Alliance.
Oh, the Mikoshiba. Yeah. That was from the last movie, the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah.
Symbol.
It took me a while to realize that this wasn't the last movie because it all felt very similar.
Are you kidding? Yeah, when I was making the movie to give to you, I actually dubbed the third movie. And I was like, okay. And then, that there's confusion in these movies. I guess it's just the middle one is the one where Daimajin is in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. You remembered it. The so the Mikoshiba are on the mountainside, are on the other side of the mountain from one of these two, the Chigusa and Nagoshi, I don't remember now which ones. And so, because these other two villages have access to that lake, they have all the stuff. They're very prosperous, and the Mikoshiba are not.
Yeah.
And they're pissed off about it. So they have this whole idea that they're going to conquer them, and they're going to do it when they have this festival because the villages come together for this festival. Okay, that's basically the story. There's also a lot of people who are leaving the Mikoshiba village as refugees, essentially, and going to these other places where they're being accepted. There's a part where they talk about how each man gave a bowl of rice in as a gesture to the leader of this village. I don't know. Yeah. And then he's like, and he looks over and there's like stacks of like what looks like a straw. And he goes, everyone gave a bowl of rice? And so it turns out it's like that the rice is put in this basket that's completely sealed, which is kind of cool because it is kind of cool that it's a period piece.
Yeah.
And it is of this kind of like feudal Japan era. And everyone's got like the shaved top head with the ponytail in the back.
Yeah.
It is great that you see some of the extras. It almost looked like they made a cap of that.
Yeah.
Because they have the headband that goes across the top, the front. And I was like, is that like a cap? Like, how great as a costume idea that not everyone has to get a haircut. Only like the
people in the front.
They have to get that haircut, and the rest can just kind of wear that cap and fake it.
It's like the later Planet of the Apes movies where the guys in back are just wearing monkey masks.
Rubber masks. Yeah. Totally. Totally. So their whole bit is that they kind of Trojan horse these bales that have rice in them.
Uh-huh.
So what they thought were these three things of rice actually were people that they were able to cut out. And then there's a bunch of sword fighting.
A bunch.
Yes. They're looking for Juro in Negoshi. There's a lot of there's a lot of like random laughter by the bad guy. He's like, "Why is everybody so excited?" Ah, ha, 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 ha.
I like the bad guy.
I had this. I wrote a note. I said, "The problem when your kaiju is a god is that they take a long time to show up."
Because
King Caesar took a long time too.
Well, I remember in the first Daimajin, the bad guys start messing with the statue, and then it starts bleeding, I think.
Right.
There's like the head spike and stuff, and
right,
all that was really cool. And this one, they start chiseling them pretty quickly, but then they start loading them up with dynamite.
Yeah, there's a great part where a guy is going to go, and he starts attacking the statue, but he's clearly not hitting it.
Yeah.
He's just going, I'm pretending to be like... and then the old guy gets hit, and he just kind of turns and jumps into the water.
Yeah. But what is great is they blow up Daimajin and the head pops off and lands right there in that little lagoon area.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. And then at the 32-minute mark, that's where we're at in this movie. Still no Daimajin. This is like red lightning hits the water where the head landed, And I'm like, okay, cool. This is it. We're half hour in. This lightning is going to wake up Daimajin. And he's going to start jacking stuff up. But he doesn't.
No, he does not.
He does not.
This movie has Kojiro Hongo of the Gamera movies as Juro, who's kind of like the main lead in this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that it's all part of the Daiye studio troupe. There's a thing where he escapes by jumping into a well.
Because
there's a secret passage at the bottom of that well. And I was like, that's a lot to put your trust in that such a thing would exist, but maybe that's how wells are created. But then it wouldn't be secret.
There was something earlier where there was like a hidden, another hidden like doorway that led down, and a couple guys went through, and then the third guy dumped a bunch of rocks on it.
That was fantastic. The escape route. Oh yeah. 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 During the big fight where like they send him through and then he does like a cave in that's set up.
Yeah.
For that exact purpose. Yeah. I think that was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, but one guy has to stay behind. And then that guy like was able to take out a few of the guys, but
yeah, he's
people get
no chance.
Yeah, people get sliced and diced a ton in this movie. It's essentially the whole movie is these two clans back and forth just sword fighting. And then at the end they have guns. Like they rarely use the guns before that.
Then they find Ikkikaku. Uh-huh. And he had a stone sticking out of his chest.
I had Ikkikaku once.
That was great. And I liked the ominousness that it was like, it's just a stone. but it was driven through his chest. It was pretty great.
Yeah, that was another thing. Was there was like, I was like, okay, so Daimajin's been blown to bits. Maybe when I saw that stone in his chest, like I was like, okay, maybe all the bits and pieces are going to start killing off these bad guys one at a time.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then
oh,
be like a Voltron.
And then they start forming into Daimajin.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
But that didn't happen.
Did not happen.
At the 40-minute mark, a boat gets sucked into the ocean. And I'm assuming that was Daimajin, but we don't see Daimajin. And yeah, that was the 45-minute mark. And so at the 49-minute mark, my note was, this guy has a stone in his chest. Will Daimajin even be whole? Will we even see Daimajin as a full creature? I wasn't sure about that.
And then they go so far as they even break the bell.
Oh, I kind of like that part. I like the part where they knock the bell down and they drop it over the side of the cliff. But as it's falling down the cliff, it's ringing like with each time it hits. And I'm like, oh, that's definitely going to wake Daimajin. We're 54 minutes into this. Here we go.
Here he comes. You guys are in trouble now.
But we still have 6 more minutes before that happened.
And then they get all the insolence, you know, the people who were basically... And they're going to burn them all at the stake.
Yeah. Okay. There was something similar in the last one where there was a guy hanging on a pole and Daimajin comes and pulls that guy off the pole.
Oh, right.
So I was like, okay, because I remember the puppet person. Because the Daimajin model is a cool scale. Like, it's not super gigantic where you have tiny puppet people.
Right.
But it's like a smaller, he's probably like 30 feet tall maybe. And so when he holds a person, it's a bigger puppet person. So I remember for that from last time. And so this is a 60-minute mark.
Were they crucified?
I think so.
Okay.
But I think Daimajin did the same thing where they pulls him out of the ground. But this is like the 60-minute mark. And this movie's only like an hour and 15 minutes.
Right.
But when I saw her hanging there, like on the cross thing, I was like, okay, this is just like the first one. We're definitely getting Daimajin, and this is when he shows up with 15 minutes left in the movie. So,
right. At this point, I wrote, you know what Daimajin needs is a summoning song.
Yeah. It almost felt like she was.
They had a song they'd sing. He'd show up much sooner.
But it felt like she was ready to sing. I thought she was going to, like, definitely when she was up there getting burnt at the stake.
No, she just had her magic tears.
Oh, my God.
In English, they say get more wood because she's not burning quickly enough.
Wait, so
and
she is a witch?
In Japanese, he says pour some oil.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here he comes. And then finally, in parentheses, what exactly is he parting open? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of like, kind of like Ten Commandments quality. When Daimajin, he starts parting the sea. But first he's splitting open like, I don't know. Cracks and mountain crevices, like what? I don't know exactly what's. They're just kind of nondescript. We don't know exactly the place exactly that we're in, but just stuff's cracking open when Daimajin finally starts showing up.
I thought it looked cool when he was standing in front of the parted seas. Like, it's definitely a comp shot, but there's something about that imagery. Like, if they were to do it now, it would look amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely, but it's totally like, you know, Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Also, when she was sitting there lashed and her eyes were closed and like the wind's blowing and all that stuff, it reminded me a lot, had that kind of Raiders of the Lost Ark feel when they opened the Ark. Uh-huh. I feel like when he broke through the wall, it didn't go quite as great as they wanted it to.
I still like that because I'm like, okay, here we go. He's here. I remember the last movie we had some great destruction when he finally did show up.
Right.
And there was a lot of great comp shots. There was a lot of great model shots. And when he knocked down
there's
that first wall. There's
an upskirt shot of Daimajin.
Yeah. When he knocked down that first wall, which was like made up of like just a ton of like stone pebbles or whatever.
Just kind of precariously like held together from with each other's weight.
I was like, okay, this is going to be cool. That wall's coming down. But then when it does, the other side of the wall is like this really bad comp shot. And I was like, oh no, the comp shots aren't as good as the first one. And like none of the comp shots looked as good as the first one. Because
there's this thing where it almost looked like they had almost like a full size Daimajin, but it's just a statue. They can't do anything with it. Maybe it was a repurposed of the Daimajin statue that was the first movie where he was just like a still statue.
Yeah,
but where so they would cut to that and do stuff, and just kind of like as if they were like pushing it on wheels. So you would kind of like glide through the scene sometimes.
Yeah.
And then they would do the shots with the one that actually had an actor.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't do the thing as much with his face that I liked from the first one, where he's got like kind of the stone face of the statue and then he moves his hand across it and the face comes. Like, I think they only really did that once.
They did it once to start and once to finish.
Yeah.
I wrote Operation Grappling Hook backfires.
It was great. I loved it though.
Yeah,
it was cool. They got him. They immediately were able to get his legs and neck, but he just like, oh, I'm just gonna keep on walking.
and our heroes keep following him, almost like, hey, I want to see how this turns out.
Yeah. What's funny is like he's there to protect those people, but he doesn't have any problem messing up their place.
Mm-mm.
He like takes the hook and he just like shoves it through a building and pulls down the roof. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's like, what happens when you watch a Daimajin movie is you just start wishing for stuff to happen that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he should pick up that gunpowder, eat it, and then burp an explosion.
We get a couple of good shots of the lady puppet when he pulls her out of the ground and sets her down. Because when he sets her down, that's like one of the few shots we get of the giant puppet hand.
Yeah.
Which there was more of in the first one. I remember remember when the bad guy in the last movie was in that room and the hand just kind of snuck in behind him without him noticing.
Right.
Yeah. So, but there's like less of that. So it was like, we get 15 minutes of Daimajin as opposed to 10, but the 15 minutes are like way less quality.
But yeah, they blew all them. They're like, oh, we got this thing. Well, you better get 3 movies out of it.
Shit.
And they blew so many in that first one.
And I'm pretty sure some of the shots of the models were redone from the first one.
Good chance.
Or holdovers.
He throws a big rock at the guy and he crushes the guy. And there's even blood on like the side of the rock.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of a dumb ending for him, but
I like Daimajin. He like sends fire from like between his legs.
That was out of nowhere.
Yep.
He just kind of squirted a fireball through his legs.
And the guy's escaping and he's climbing up the ship's mast.
Instead of jumping in the water.
And he like that's stupid. Somehow slips and ends up crucified.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, I'm so tangled. Whoa,
Yeah, he could have jumped in the water. He didn't. And I was like, why is he trying to climb the mast? And then when it ended, I'm like, oh, okay, it's supposed to be like he's the one that is crucified now. I feel like Daimajin would have put him up there. Because in the last one, didn't Daimajin put a dude? He put a dude on the post, on the crucifixion post. And didn't he pull the spike out of his head and like stick him to it or something? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
So I feel like they wanted to make Daimajin put him on there, but they couldn't figure a way to make it look right.
I forgot about that part.
So it's like an eye for an eye, like because they, you know, they're the ones that like pulled the spike out of his head and started bleeding, and then he stuck it in them. So I feel like maybe
that he has to end up the same way.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they couldn't figure out a way, and they're sort of like, just kind of climb this thing and then like, fall into place.
Can you figure out a way? Can you do that?
Yeah. One of the things that cracked me up is once Daimajin came in and saved the day, all the captives behind the bars. Just kind of like slipped through the bars and came out. Like they could have come through the bars at any time.
The whole time.
Yeah. It was like the Smurfs or like Pinocchio when they're inside a jail and you're like, they can clearly fit through, but you know, they don't want to animate.
Yeah. Or like the kids in that Gamera movie with the, the squid.
There's like a Zucker's Abrams movie where they're like, there's like captives and they're trying to get out and they're trying to reach the key. It's out of distance. And the guy comes out, it goes, squeezes through the bars, grabs the key, comes back in and then unlocks the door.
That's great.
Yeah. He picks up around my, look at my notes here. They're pretty much, we've talked about all this stuff.
Short kaiju punches.
Scorch the fireball. The rock kind of death was kind of weak.
Yeah.
Because the first one was when the kind of big henchman guy gets squashed by the hand. And this one, like, the rock's like cut away. Like, it cut away too much where you don't see it actually happening.
Yeah.
You see him throw the rock, and then it cuts to the rock with blood on it, which is fine.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's like, if he smashed down there, it's the blood gets smeared up the side.
Yeah. And then Daimajin turns into water.
Disappears? Yeah, I don't.
Now he's a water guy, I guess. And then he turns. I thought he was turning into ice, but then he kind of like dissolves into the water, and then that's pretty much the ending.
That'd be great if there were two Daimajins. And he's the one that turns into water stuff, and then the other one is the one that turns into animals.
Could they both squirt fire out of their legs?
It's a very stretch to work in the Wonder Twins. And then the third movie is like that monkey Daimajin.
Gleek. Speaking of the third movie, what are It'll the chances? Well.
We're not going to get do it anytime soon.
What are the chances it's the same?
That he's not going to show up to the end?
It's just two samurai clans fighting, and then Daimajin shows up in the last couple minutes.
Well, let's see. Maybe it'll be four, because this one was three each time they add a new clan. I don't know. I feel like.
There was no story. There was nothing to it. It was just these guys battling back and
forth.
Hey,
we're going to... Let's go. Yeah, there wasn't... Yeah,
I think the first one kind of had like a kid with his storyline. I remember him running through the woods and like seeing weird images of like trees grabbing him. And there's like that picture that close up of a vulture and stuff and like a goat. The kid in this
movie. But it's the same kind of thing. Like Daimajin's like a hero of the oppressed.
When he decides to show up, he could have helped a lot sooner because they ring that bell. But I really, really want to like Daimajin. I think as a character, he looks cool. And the idea of him just murdering the bad guys, like, hardcore is cool. He has no sympathy for bad guys. He's just there to, like, destroy them. He's just like this angel of death.
Yeah, I like he's like a stoic creature. He's silent. He just goes and destroys and then goes away.
There's just not enough of him.
Nothing happens.
And I want him to fight something? I feel like yes, but what and how would you fit that into this kind of storyline that they sort of pigeonhole themselves into? Because a lot of like this, I don't know. The scale of him is cool. I like that he's not super gigantic. I like that he can interact with humans more, which means like all of the deaths are more personal. It's not like Godzilla where he just like steps on like five people at once. You know, he can like pick up a person and just like mess them up.
Yeah. Like,
that's cool. But it's just too late. So yeah, it'll probably be a long time before we get to the wrath of Daimajin.
Yeah, we need this to wear off.
Yeah,
and as to kind of forget a little bit, being like, oh yeah,
that's kind of what happened.
We gotta do it though. We gotta complete it.
I'm surprised I remember as much as the first one as I do, but I mean, when there's so little that happens, you kind of latch on to like the kind of good stuff.
Oh, there's also like a newer TV series, right?
I think so. I think 2010.
Interesting.
But I don't know.
Well, if it's a TV show, he's probably going to have to show up a lot sooner.
He shows up in the 12th episode.
Oh, man. Like a miniseries?
Yeah. It's like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. You are going to have dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour, right? He looks so cool. Like, if you just do a Google image search of Daimajin, it's like, oh, every single picture is badass.
Yeah.
And he just, like, I was really excited when that stone was just in that dude's chest. And I'm like, all right, cool, let's do this.
Yeah. The stone in the dude's chest might have been my favorite part. I mean, pre-destruction. Just I was like, it was so ominous and so like going, oh.
But this movie is probably more for boat enthusiasts. There's so many boats. You know, just watching them paddle those boats, I'm like, how does that work? How is there like a special way of moving those paddles back and forth? But I just didn't. There was like little entertainment value, so I was just thinking about the boats. But
yeah, because I almost feel also like if you like this time period as far as like in history, there's better movies of this time period that talk about this stuff too, probably.
And have just about as much Dimension in it. I can't.
Oh man,
it's just a bummer. It's just a real bummer. I mean, it's such a great concept, but I mean, a kaiju kind of monster thing in samurai times.
Right.
I feel like King Caesar would fit in this era. He's kind of has like, he looks like one of those statues. Like if there was a Daimajin versus King Caesar, it would be great. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go write fanfic, but I feel like.
Yeah. There's also like, there's no chance that like, there's going to be another thing to fight, say, from just hurting people.
Or like last time on our last episode, we were talking a bit about Manda, and Manda looks like kind of a classic Japanese dragon, or I guess.
Yeah, it's like a Chinese dragon.
And I was like, see, something like kind of a more ancient looking monster would be awesome.
Right.
Or like. Or like if you saw like the Mummy 3, where they had like the Terracotta Warriors. Versus like Yetis and stuff, like something like that, something that felt more sort of mystical or ancient or, you know, but I mean, you can't just, it's going to be the same. I know the third one is going to be the same.
Are you saying in the Mummy 3, the Terracotta Warriors fought Yetis?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember this. Maybe I didn't see this movie.
Jet Li was in it. He played the Dragon Emperor. Oh, shoot. You didn't see it? You might not have seen it. Because I'm gonna spoil Mummy 3, just to see if you've seen it or not. But there's like a King Ghidorah in it.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, if you do a quick But if you do a quick search for Mummy, let's see here, Mummy.
Surprised I didn't see it. Did Scorpion King just bum me out?
I liked the Scorpion King standalone movie. I didn't like the Scorpion King in Mummy Returns.
When he showed up. Yeah, the Scorpion King as an effect.
Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Yeti. There's Yetis in it.
Cool.
They don't look terrific.
Okay.
I'm just going to send you the link because Tomb of the Dragon Emperor Dragon. Yeah, it's like a King Ghidorah.
Wow. I have not seen this.
Dude, I'm going to send you this picture. Oh, I'm not saying it's a great movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, he's huge.
I don't.
That was in when I clicked on the link you sent me, if you just scroll down a little further, he shows up right there. Wow.
I don't remember hating it, but Rachel Weisz wasn't in it, and it was someone else. I forget who, but. They switched out the actors.
There was the Mummy animated series?
I guess so.
Yeah, apparently the dragon showed up there first.
Yeah, it's totally a three-headed. It looks like King Ghidorah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you come across it, if you like those Mummy movies, I really liked the second one until the CGI Scorpion Rock came out.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know there were three Scorpion King movies.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Holy crap.
I think the first one was fine, but... It was more fun. And The Rock was
four Scorpion King movies.
Oh, who's...
Hang on.
It's like a different actor. Oh, my gosh.
Five.
Are they still making Scorpion King movies?
Scorpion King 4, Quest for Power. Scorpion King, Book of Souls. The fifth installment in the Scorpion King series. The eighth in the Universal Mummy franchise.
When did that last Scorpion King movie come out?
2018!
What? Wait. Hold on. A Scorpion King movie came out this year? Or is it coming out? Who plays the Scorpion King? I'm confused and excited.
There's a picture of a Blu-ray. case that says Book of Souls.
Zach McGowan.
Maybe it's in production?
October 23rd. It comes out in a month. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. It just came out. When does this show... When did I say this episode was going up? It just came out last month. That's crazy. They must be popular still.
Wow.
That's great. I mean, it makes me happy. Like, you know, if you're a Scorpion King fan, cool.
It probably is. I could see this doing well.
Like overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of makes me happy. Because they try to like reboot the Mummy series with the Tom Cruise one.
Oh, it's like... produced by Mike Elliott.
Who's Mike Elliott?
Mike Elliott was a producer for Corman for a long time. In fact, when I was an intern at Corman, he was a producer. He produced Casper and Wendy, which is the movie that I did extra work to get my SAG card, and a movie called Raven's Ridge, which was a heist movie that I was in where I get shot with an arrow and step in a bear trap.
What? Wait, yep. Hold on. I've never really looked at your credits or your IMDb page. You're in Casper and Wendy?
As a background performer. You see me very little. I feel because like at the time I had this long curly hair, I think I stood out. So I don't think they were able to like place me in a bunch of places. But it was kind of like as a favor because I knew them and I was an intern at their place for so long that they helped me get my SAG card by giving me the extra work that you need to get your eligibility.
And then what was the other movie?
So then the other movie was after Mike left, the two Mikes that were working for Conquer New Horizons, they left to kind of form their own company. They wanted to get something. Oh, I think also Rob Kirshner was also, he was like the development, like the three, like the head of the studio, the head of development and the head of production at Concord, they kind of left and formed their own little company. And so they wanted to get something out right, like they could get out quickly to start generating money for the business. It was called Raven's Ridge. And it's this movie that's like, we're like a bunch of like bank robbers, or are we bank robbers? Well, maybe it's an armored car heist, but we pull off this robbery and we take off and we go hide the money in the woods. And then when we're going to, I think, retrieve it, we kind of get hunted down by a mountain man who ends up killing us.
Wow. Sounds great. Sounds up my alley. I like Corman movies. There's some
ones out there. It was fun.
Cool. Awesome. That sounds way more interesting than Return of Daimajin. Which goes without saying, it does not break our top five. I mean, I don't like being negative much, but I'm wondering if we were to put a bottom five or create a bottom five where Daimajin would fit. But I feel like...
In the bottom five? Oh, man.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what would we... I don't even know. I wouldn't feel like relegating anything to the bottom five of... I mean, it'd have to be a really bad movie. I don't think we've seen anything where I'm just like, this movie needs to just go away. But... It's just these movies are just kind of more of a bummer.
There must be people out there who love these movies.
It's just a tease. I mean, I said it last time. If you were to sit someone down and say, "Hey, let's watch this samurai movie," and then all of a sudden in the last couple minutes a giant statue shows up and beats everybody up, that'd probably be a great experience or at least a different experience. But I feel like this one, the main samurai story isn't actually compelling. I feel like the last one may have had a little bit more interest, like it was more interesting, but I don't know. It's a big bummer.
There are people who love it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just found this. Any love for Daimajin? Haven't heard of him, but I'll be enjoying this later today. And there are people who say that they do.
Yeah. I mean, the character I like, but that's about it. That's about it. He's vicious. That's what I do like about him. But I think I'm done talking about this movie. Let's talk about our next episode. We're gonna notch another Gamera off of our list. It's gonna be Gamera versus Zigra. Zigra? We'll find out. Z-I-G-R-A. I'm excited. Well, it looks like a shark, a flying shark.
Oh yeah, I gotta look up what the photos of this guy looks like.
He looks like a flying shark. He's great.
Oh, so pointy.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So we'll probably get some Gamera blood. He's going to slice him as he flies by him in the middle of the air. I'm excited for it. It's good to move on. We'll see when we hit the next Dimogen. But until the next episode, go to kaijupod.com. There you can check out our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And other than that, maybe go over to iTunes, leave a review. Not necessarily on this episode, but the podcast as a whole. until next time, I'm just going to sit around and wait for Dimogen to show up.
I'm going to go and look at the Japanese version of Terra Mechagodzilla.
I did that last time. It was great. Way better.